Welcome to episode 6 of Faith in Me. This is your host Haifa, and the topic of our podcast today is stuck in a relationship. We women are struggling. On one end, we have the societal standards or expectations of a perfect girl, perfect wife, or perfect mom. A weak, battered woman, exhausted, unseen, unappreciated, crying in the corner of the house, yet giving and serving her family with a smile. That's a perfect wife. And the husband is a man, if he screams at his wife in front of his family daily, orders her around and makes fun of her, sees her juggle with little children at the party, yet sit cross-legged and maybe even laugh about it. Be patient. Let it go. All men are like that only. That's a man. Even before getting married, many girls are blackmailed emotionally into saying yes to rishtas or matches families bring. So many women are suffering, struggling silently. And it's not just a rural village thing, not something found in uneducated family or orthodox settings. Everywhere. Because the underlying evil is oppression. To feed one's ego by crushing others. To do it just because one can and no one will stop him. And this is within every person, regardless of race, nationality, religion, class, or education. And then on the other end is feminism. And we cannot really box feminism into one movement, right? Especially modern feminism is far from truly liberating women. It is really genuine causes like standing up for girls' education, against abuse, domestic workplace, sexual discrimination, it's true. But it somehow evolved into something crazy today, self-contradicting even. I mean, forcing women to work is not liberation. Neither is forcing women to expose or strip. Letting them choose and letting them be without giving them a hard time is liberation. Now, talking about the condition of women is like talking about world peace. It's not something that can be fixed overnight. And women have always been mistreated. As wrong as it is, the truth is we all live in it every day. And that one cannot always end abuse even if you want to. Then what do I do while I'm in the pit? This is a huge topic, right? But what I want to discuss today is how do we stay sane while we're stuck in a relationship without escape, at least in the near future? Or how do we give strength and hope to a sister who might be stuck in one without release? How should we respond? What is our discourse as a Muslim woman in the face of abuse, discrimination, or mistreatment? Enter Khawla bint Malik. Say her name, ladies. So one day, her husband gets angry and says really hurtful things to her. And then he cools off later and comes back wanting to sleep with her. She said, "No. By the one in whose hand is the soul of Khuwayla, you will not have your way with me after you said what you said, until Allah and His Messenger issue judgment about our case." She complains to the Prophet, and a surah comes down for her. Second story, the story of a woman who approached the Prophet ﷺ to complain that her father had married her off to her cousin without her consent. The Prophet ﷺ annulled the marriage. And later, this is the fun bit, the woman told the Prophet, "Now that I'm free, I willingly consent to this marriage. I only wanted it to be known that men have no say over women in their marriages." My question is, how many of us have even heard about these incidents? How conveniently are Desi and Arab scholars buried these topics, and instead all they tell us is that majority of people in hell are women. After Allah, wife must do sujood to husband and do not raise your voice at your husband. Dude, an entire surah in the Quran. The only surah with the name of Allah in every single ayah. Mujadila, the pleading woman. And Allah says in that surah, ذَلِكُمْ تُعَذُونَ بِهِ. This is what you're warned with. And Allah is fully aware of what you do. Allah is warning. These men have been playing us, sisters. So this is the discourse we have as a Muslim woman. Now, moving on to choosing our discourse. And people often say things like, you're wasting your life stuck in that relationship or not pursuing a career. A stay-at-home mother after all that education? Seriously? Walk away. You don't have to put up with that in-laws. Well, you know what? Stay. You still have to struggle. Allah will see you through. Walk away. You will still struggle differently, and Allah will see you through. Both choices are absolutely okay. One is not weak or strong to choose to walk away or stay. At the end, this life will be struggle, and you can sometimes choose your battle, and sometimes you're so helpless, you will have to put up with it until Allah gives you an opening, or you may choose to live with it anyways. So, there are rights. It's the threshold, the basic below which no one can stoop with respect to the other party. Those are rights. Then there's ihsan. Ihsan is everything over and above it, limitless and self-upgrading in ranks. So if you choose to do sabr, you're doing ihsan. So it all boils down to your own capacity. Your willingness to suffer, your ability to get out of it, the options you have. Not everyone has the luxury of having options, you know. And regardless of what we choose, we're growing spiritually. Our trust and reliance in Allah is getting stronger. We get a clearer view of this life and the people in it. Sometimes when we try to speak up or set boundaries, ugly scandals and accusations are thrown at us. Eventually, we learn to be unaffected by what people say. Our concern will purely be what our stand is in the court of Allah. At this point, it's important to highlight the need to seek advice or counsel from trusted people. Only confiding to your friend or family member you know will give you the correct advice. Even seek professional help if you have to, but choose them carefully, because people can easily blow things out of proportion and cause irreparable damage to relationship. And you fall prey because, you know, when you're in trauma, you might not be able to see things clearly. Remember the dua of our Prophet after Ta'if. When you're stuck, battered by people, when you feel helpless, remember the dua of the Prophet. He was chased and stoned out of the city, exhausted, heartbroken, hurt, and bleeding. He recalled it later as the most depressing day of his life. And even at that low point, being who he is, the Prophet of Almighty Allah, his dua and his only concern was seeking if Allah was still happy with him. If he was, he didn't care what people did to him. So life can drive you to moments and situations where people become scary. People who you thought were your constant or place of security and warmth just turn into strangers. You ask them for explanations, for reconciliations, for a closure, but nothing. Those moments, thank Allah, for we get a chance to repeat these words of our beloved Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you are pleased with me, Allah. That was our Prophet. Didn't seek revenge, didn't ever do it for himself. Forgave. He's a role model. He's the best version of ourselves we can be. He's as high as we can reach. But we don't have to. He is for us to look up to and aim for. That's ihsan. And ihsan will upgrade us in ranks over and over. It will make us experience the closeness to Allah. We could be crying in our prayer mat every night, but we still have a flickering flame, a strength inside us which no one can put out. We'll finally see happiness in its true form, pure, unadulterated, not deceiving, not transient. There's a story of a couple and an ustad. So this husband couldn't believe his wife's guts to complain to an ustad about his abusive behavior. So right in front of the ustad, he goes like, "You wait, women, I'm gonna make you cry." Threatening her. And this lady is so cool. She says, "My happiness is not tied to you or the petty things you do for me. My happiness is tied to my Rabb alone, and you can never snatch that from me." Slow claps. Look at that attitude. Where does that come from? It's her Iman. She knows she is in the right. And Al-Aziz, the Almighty, is with her. It's also this perspective. I mean, everything we do is for ourselves. People might tell you that you're sacrificing too much for others and you'll regret it later when they turn against you. Well, from our deen's perspective, whether we reap it here or in the hereafter, we are the beneficiary. Even when we sacrifice for others, we're doing it for ourselves. You know, in Surah Muzammil, Allah says, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, for our own selves, whatever you send forth for your own selves, you'll find it with Allah. So even the most selfless deeds we do is in the light of Islam for ourselves. And that's not a bad thing at all. I mean, it's not in a bad sense, but this is the truth. So no, you're not wasting your life. Plus, our soul, in its fitrah, it finds its fulfillment in giving unconditionally. So it's like, Allahu Akbar, we've been designed for Jannah. This entire range of vision is unlocked only when we know that there is an akhirah and an afterlife, right? So for those who don't have faith in the hereafter, this world defines success and confines it to wealth, fame, power and influence, success, recognition and all that. So wrapping up, it's difficult sometimes to balance these two. Do I show sabr or do I demand my rights? Nevertheless, it gives us confidence as a believer that even if I choose to show sabr, I know I have the full permission and right from my Rabb to walk away. At the end of the day, there is no one right way of doing life. It's about choices, about how one makes peace with what unique situations Allah puts them in this life at different stages. It's each individual's unique journey. Like someone once said, a million beings and a million ways of being. What we women as a team can do is to respect each person's journey. Let's not judge anyone's choices, each one with their own scrolls, on that day when we'll be running from each other. That brings us to the end of this episode. May Allah Al-Fattah give an opening to everyone who's struggling. Jazakallah khair for listening. Assalamu alaikum.